Blog Talk Radio.
My people,
don't you know you better
set it back there?
Everybody for listening to another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is Seth, and this is the show, the Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network. I was running a little bit late there, but I'm here. Again, thank y'all for supporting this network, and thank y'all for showing up on time, those of you that are on time. I got a lot on my mind running around in my head right now, so y'all just bear with me. But we do want to, before I forget, because I keep getting told by different family members to give the phone number. So here we go with the phone number to the show. It's 760-283-0838. Those of you that are online, I don't know why y'all can't see it, but if you look right at the screen, to the left, you can see the phone number 760-283-0838. Otherwise, if you're online, you can also, if you have a computer, rather, you can, instead of listening on your, with your cell, you can go ahead and just plug into the website and hear it through your computer speakers, and that is www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. Okay? And then after you do .com, just put a slash, and then you type 5, the number 5, underscore, smooth, underscore, stones, S-T-O-N-E-S. Let me repeat that. www.blogtalkradio, that's B-L-O-G, talkradio.com, slash, the number 5, underscore, smooth, underscore, stones, 5, smooth, stones. If you don't get that, then just simply go to blogtalkradio.com and do a search for 5 smooth stones, but that's the harder way. So anyway, hopefully y'all can connect that way. But I just want to welcome all of our friends out there, not just the family, but friends as well that have started to listen to the Booker Douglas Friends and Family Network. We got lots of people that are now listening. And also, I want to just remind everybody, those of you that are listening, those of you that are on the in the chat, and you may want to comment or ask a question, you have got to register with blogtalkradio.com. There's no exceptions. You got to register with blogtalkradio.com. And once you register, it'll ask you to give some type of name, like a fake name you can go by. And then what you do is when you log on to shows in the future, we can see your name, whatever fake name you give, a screen name, I should say, because that's what everybody calls it, a screen name. Then we can start allowing you to chat. You can ask questions and so forth. So, folks, please get involved with the show. I'm so glad so many of you are listening. But I definitely want all of the families to listen because we need each other. This network is not going to work unless more people get involved. But I am thankful that y'all are going to the archives and listening to the previous shows. Now, I'm grateful for that because you don't have to do that. But many of y'all are going to the network and looking up the shows and listening to the archives. I don't know what the exact number was, but it's probably over 800. I don't want to throw a number. I know it's well over 800 times somebody has actually listened to the show. Now, whether or not they listen to the whole show, I kind of doubt that, but at least 800 times somebody have clicked to listen to one of the 8 shows. There's like 8 shows. I mean, there's several shows. And if you add all the numbers up, time that somebody actually listened, it's been like 8. So I want to thank y'all for that. I really, really, really appreciate that. And it just show you how much you value the information being dispersed over this network. So I'm going to allow more family members to come. And I hope everybody's doing well tonight. We had a lot of action, a lot of birthdays, a lot of celebrations over the week. We'll talk about that in a minute. We got a lot of information and activities and events coming up next week. We'll talk about that in a minute. But in the meantime, I want to give the family a little bit more time to come. So what I think I'm going to do now is just take a short little break. I want y'all to check out this, should we do it, should we not? Got some commercials I want y'all to see. Actually, I want family to hear this, so I'm going to wait. But I got some very interesting information on, I won't share. I'll just leave it a mystery until I actually share it. But anyway, let's give the family a little bit, a few more minutes, and then we'll start the show. So those of you in the family that drag your feet, this is for you. We'll just wait for you to come. But in the future, we really need to start on time because I got so much information to disperse to you. And y'all just holding up some things, okay? So anyway, check this out. This is Tanny, Donna's daughter. She sung a song a good while back called At Your Feet. I'm going to play it again. This is on YouTube. But this is Tanny singing At Your Feet, and then we'll be back to start the show. Check this out.
Hey, everybody. I'm going to sing a song by Vicky Yoli, At Your Feet. Leave a comment or critique me, whatever. I want to know your feedback, okay?
All I have to hold.
Yeah, leave me a comment. Let me know what you think, okay? Thank you.
And when she say leave the comment, I'm talking about her YouTube video. That's on YouTube. Y'all can go check out Tanny. You just type in Tanny Smith. I think Tanny Smith 2. Tanny Smith 1. And it'll bring her up. And just go ahead and leave her a comment when you see that particular video. That's what she was saying. But we're trying to showcase family talent. That's why I played that video, audio. So anyway, y'all got to forgive me. I've been running. But anyway, again, welcome to another episode of the Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network. Tonight, if you haven't already heard, we are showcasing, spotlighting an elder in the family, and that elder is the one and only Amos Howard, which is my father. Because of Amos and Irene, that's how y'all got Seth. So he'll be on to talk about several things that's on his mind and history about, I told him when I shared with him earlier that he got to tell us some of the profound history. You know, like a lot of the seniors in the family, he has a whole lot of knowledge about different things that happened in Fort Worth. So he'll be on to just share about him. So many of y'all don't know who Amos is. Again, Amos and Irene is the reason Seth was born. Okay, so that is my father, biological father. And some of y'all probably saying, well, I thought Billy was your father. Well, Billy is actually the man who raised me later on in life, and I appreciate that. And Amos, like I said, Amos and Irene is my biological parents. Thank the Most High for that, and thank the Most High for Billy's contribution in raising me. I thank both of them. So anyway, I just want to welcome the friends of the family tonight. I keep forgetting to talk about our friends because it's not just family tuning in now. We've got friends tuning in. So thank y'all. And we'll talk about a lot of things. And feel free to share as friends of the family. You don't have to be relatives. You don't have to be relatives. You can share any information. We talk about all types of things on this show. We talk about celebrate birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, awards, anything that goes on in the family or friends of our family, we want to hear about it, okay? And while everybody in the family might not know certain friends, if you're a friend of the family, that means somebody in the family can appreciate whatever it is you celebrate. So again, if you are a friend of the family, and you have a graduation, and you know many members in this family would appreciate knowing that, share it. If you are a friend of the family and you have a birthday, there's birthdays, and you know several people in this family can appreciate it, share it. If you know of job openings and you think several people in this family can benefit from it, share it, okay? So that's what this is all about. We are the Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network, networking with our family as well as our friends to create, promote, develop a healthier, stronger, more spiritual, more mature family. And while I'm at it, I just want to invite anybody out there listening on the sound of my voice that is a part of this family to come down, so to speak, and host the show, do just what I'm doing any day, anytime. It's a piece of cake. I can show you how to do it. I don't want this to be the Seth show. This is so much not my show. And if y'all don't believe that, one of these days I'll show you if I can to just be the only one that hosts. I enjoy doing it. I really do, because I'm learning a whole lot about this family. I'm not joking. I'm learning a lot. And I look forward to this interview tonight with Amos. You know, I know he have a lot to share. Amos is also the brother of Monroe Howard, which is the father of Tina, the late Tina Booker and Linda Booker. I think Linda Booker and Tina Booker. I would just use those names for now. But anyway, of Linda's children and grandchildren may enjoy this interview tonight because we'll be mentioning Monroe, their granddaddy, and great-granddaddy, and also I'm sure Tina will be mentioned sometime tonight because Amos spent time with Tina. So Amos is no stranger to the family. He knows everybody pretty much, so, and not to mention the north side. So anyway, that'll happen at 10 o'clock tonight. And until then, I just want to hear from family. If y'all got any shout-outs, anything going to family, y'all need to let me know. I'm here. Don't all call at the same time. But I'm definitely here, and I just want to know what's going on with you. I know this weekend we had birthdays for myself, and my birthday was on yesterday. Y'all should call in, if nothing else, and wish me happy birthday. Also, actually, Amos had a birthday now, I think about it. I think on the 9th, Mama's birthday passed. I think her birthday was on the, actually, I think Mama was on the 9th. And a lot of people's birthday in February. I don't want to get confused, but I know Mama's was like the 9th. And I think Amos said his was last week. He said last week they threw a party for him. He'll talk about that, I'm sure. But there's a lot of birthdays out there. And I just want to just make sure I not miss anyone. So y'all call in and remind me who had birthdays this week. Well, we won't ignore anybody, okay? But a lot of birthdays, maybe some anniversaries. We haven't really had an anniversary mentioned yet on the show. I would love for somebody to call in and share if there was an anniversary, okay? So anyway, that's what the show is all about. And somebody's trying to contact me. Give me 1 second here. Why I get phone calls from people. Hold on 1 second. This is show related. Well, we'll just answer that later. But anyway, how's everybody doing? I really hope everybody is doing well. I really wish good health upon this family. You know, there's enough sickness. So I pray that everybody's doing well. Everybody is enjoying school, all the kids. And I know some of them got to go to bed shortly. So let me just do this before I forget. Let me just go ahead and just play a little happy birthday for all of those that had birthdays this week. I know there was a lot of people, and I don't want to miss anybody. And I don't really want to wait for you to call me either to tell me. I know there was a lot of birthdays. So this is for everybody who had a birthday last week. And also, we'll just go ahead and include anyone that have a birthday this coming week, okay? So this is for you. Just a little bit of this. Stevie Wonder, happy birthday to y'all, and we mean it. This is all the birthdays out there that was last week and the week coming up. So
Anyway, we'll let that play in the background. Again, just happy birthday to all those birthdays in February. I'm not going to call out names. I'll probably miss somebody and get in trouble. So everybody had birthdays. My mother was one. I know she's a birthday baby, and I'm happy birthday, Mama. And y'all think I'm crazy, but I still wish Mama had a birthday. And also, our guest tonight, Amos, who's going to be on the show, his birthday was on Saturday. Donald Jr.'s birthday was sometime, I don't know the date. And also, before I forget, somebody called me just yesterday. See, I told you I was going to forget somebody. Maybe somebody that didn't help me. But anyway, several birthdays, that was for you. And also, Kevin and Nick had an anniversary on the 11th of February, my birthday, which is a trip. I didn't know that. But anyway, I really, really wish y'all a happy birthday. Hopefully y'all had a lot of fun. Actually, Tanya called me and sung to me. That was nice. I appreciate her doing that. And when Tanya sang to you, happy birthday, that was something. That was a treat. So I really do appreciate that. And so many things happened this week, and I just, I got so many notes here. But anyway, folks, this family's big. It's getting even bigger, and it's hard to keep up with everything. So this is why I just need y'all to call in and remind your cousin, your brother, Seth, let him know, hey, you forgot this, you forgot that. But a lot going on. And I must tell y'all, though, I'm really, really looking forward to the interview tonight. I was talking with Amos earlier today, and he kept mentioning things, and I kept saying, don't talk about that now, don't talk about that now. Wait till later on, because I didn't want him to talk about something with me and then forget to mention to y'all. So y'all going to be in for a treat tonight. I didn't know this, but Amos is actually 80 years old as of last week. I think it was Saturday. They threw a party for him, Linda and everybody, and Sandra and all. So he's 80 years old. So I just figure anybody 80 years old, I have something to say for sure. Not to mention he has a lot of history with the Booker Douglas family and friends. So that'll be at 10 o'clock, but y'all stay tuned for that. I sent out a late notice to the family to come, and I feel kind of bad about that. So I'm going to give them a few more minutes before I start talking about some other things. But in the meantime, I want y'all to check out these couple of commercials I want the family to listen to. This should be interesting. So we've got a couple of commercials, and then we'll be right back. Check this out.
Hey, everybody. Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now, look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate, so you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery, so you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Clap your hands, everybody. Come on. If God's been faithful, then sing along with us. Everybody say faithful.
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 Faithful
is our God. Come on, all over the world.
Faithful.
Say faithful.
Faithful,
faithful is our God. Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful
is our God. Yes, He is. Come on, say faithful.
Faithful.
Faithful is our God.
I'm reaping the harvest.
Take back what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice today.
For
I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice today.
Faithful,
so faithful.
Okay, we're back, and I want to share some with you. Hopefully everybody is here that needs to be here, because I want to move on. I don't want to keep waiting for family members, but some of y'all are here, so thank y'all. Those of you on the phone line, those of you in the chat room, thank y'all. Remember, again, I hate to keep saying this, but those of you on the chat line, you cannot chat. You cannot send messages to me. You cannot talk to each other. You just appear as a guest. You have to go in there and register with Blog Talk Radio. Give them some kind of screen name. It don't have to be your real name. And then once you do that, it'll let you, it will go ahead and let you chat. So, again, you have to be registered with Blog Talk Radio. That's just the way it is. Okay? Not my rules. But anyway, I wanted to share some with y'all for the Booker business section of the show. I wanted to share some with y'all that I thought is very important. It's a video. Actually, on it's all over the internet. It's not just on YouTube, but you can find it on YouTube. It's called The Day the Dollar Died. So instead of me putting on people talking about jobs and people, you know, like we've been doing, I want something a little different. I want to put this video on it, and y'all won't, of course, won't see it, but you can hear it. You can hear this video. It's very, very, very informative, and it's talking about what is going to happen very soon to our economy. It's based upon real facts. These are economists that put this together, okay? It's called The Day the Dollar Died. It's have over 1 million hits, so, you know, that don't mean anything. Sometimes, you know, 1 million hits don't mean nothing, but you got to see the type of people that have listened and have backed and basically endorsed this video. But check this out, y'all. This right here is going to be worth our the book of business section of the show. This right here is going to be worth y'all's time, I guarantee you. So what you might want to do is grab a pencil and paper, because I'm telling you, some of the stats you're going to hear is going to make you go research. Okay, this is only about a 7-minute clip, but I'm telling you, it's power packed. And those of y'all that are spiritual, be prayerful as you listen to this and see what you get from the Most High. I'm telling you, I'm very serious. This is real. This is a scenario of what is about to happen to the U.S. dollar by several economists. And a lot of ministers back this video as well. Check this out. This is for the family. This is financial planning. We handle this from 9:30 to 10. And so instead of doing that, I thought I would just do this video in lieu of what we normally do. Check this out. The day the dollar died.
The following is a fictional story of events that may happen in the near future. 8 a.m., New York Stock Exchange. It's a cold, breezy day on Wall Street as markets await the Federal Reserve's announcement for QE4. Futures are up significantly. The Dow Jones just breached its 2008 high of 14,164. Gold just hit an all-time high of 2,900. Silver just breached $100 per ounce. The dollar index is holding at 53. With official unemployment at 16.3%, there's a nervous feeling on Wall Street that if this doesn't work, the world could implode into a depression that will last for the remainder of the decade. 8:19 a.m., Beijing. Chinese officials announced that they can no longer allow Washington to devalue their holdings. After making their concerns private, China accepts that Washington will never stop paying its debts with inflated currency. China makes an official statement from Beijing, quote, "We have made our concerns known privately for some time. With QE4 about to be announced today, China will have no choice but to stop purchasing U.S. treasuries. We have allowed Washington to try to work through their imbalances for 4 years. But with global inflation and U.S. consumers rapidly shrinking as a percentage of global GDP, we feel that a Western recovery is unlikely until they reform their entitlement programs." 8:45 a.m., New York Stock Exchange. Upon hearing the statement from China, Dow futures have a sharp reversal and begin to drop. Gold leaps past $3,000 per ounce, up $150 per ounce in the last 26 minutes. CNBC awaits a statement from the White House. 8:50 a.m., Washington, D.C. The president makes an official statement to calm investors' fears. He tells Americans that he has spoken with several G20 leaders. They have assured him that they will continue to increase their purchase of treasuries and believe that a strong U.S. economy is the only thing that will bring back global prosperity. He has also spoken to Chairman Bernanke, who assures him that a strong dollar will be the result of QE4. The president also reminds Americans that his recent New Deal recovery programs that he passed through executive order will increase the likelihood of a lasting recovery. He also notes that Beijing, since 2009, has slowly been reducing their holdings, so the impact will be minimal. 9:51 a.m., New York. Dow futures fall 850 points in the first 20 minutes of trading. Markets are halted for 1 hour by the authorities. 10 a.m. Main Street, America. The news about the stock market in China has now spread. A panic begins to set in and unprepared Americans rush to the grocery store. In an attempt to purchase food and water, Americans that didn't know what was going on are alerted by all of the news stories and panic buying. Within 50 minutes, there is a nationwide rush to the stores. Empty store shelves in America become a reality. 10:52 a.m., New York. Markets reopen and the Dow Jones resumes its collapse. Investors around the world join the sell-off in bonds and stocks and begin to purchase commodities. Unlike the panic of 2008, this time commodities are seen as the only safe haven from a dollar crisis. 11:30 a.m., New York. The Dow falls 1,700 points since reopening. Trading is halted for at least 2 hours. The Federal Reserve injects $200 billion into the markets and announces that QE4 will be delayed until further notice. Congress is called back to D.C. for an emergency joint session. Some members of Congress are saying that they consider China's statement a financial attack. 12 p.m. Main Street, America. Several cities begin to see civil unrest after grocery stores are forced to close. Traffic in the streets and violence break out. The president puts the National Guard on alert for a possible deployment onto U.S. streets if things don't get under control soon. Several news agencies are reporting injuries at grocery chains and call for the authorities to do something before it gets worse. 12:15 p.m. Toronto, Canada. George Soros tells CNBC that a run on treasuries is imminent and that there is nothing the government can do to stop it. He says it is unfortunate that a controlled decline of the dollar was not coordinated better over the years. Today really could have been avoided if not for the Tea Party politicians who demanded fiscal responsibility and a constitutional government. 3 p.m. Gold closes at $11.53 for the day at $4,053 per ounce. Silver closes at $173 per ounce. The president announces that due to civil unrest in some areas of the country, U.S. stock markets will remain closed for the rest of the day. With the exception of mining and other inflation-related stocks, the majority of U.S. stocks are down significantly due to the sell-off and flight to safety in commodities. The Federal Reserve announces that it will begin to purchase U.S. treasuries and stocks in order to stabilize the market. But this only feeds investors' fears of a full-blown treasury run and collapse of the dollar. 6 p.m., Asia. Asian markets begin a massive sell-off. Dollar collapse rumors begin to take hold of the market. CNBC Asia looks into a possible comic default and complete breakdown in the U.S. economy. Gold spikes in Asia, up 1750 in the first complete hour of trading. Gold is now at 5803. 7 p.m., gold and silver bullion dealers across the world have suspended all sales due to no inventory. A comic default is now expected. Several central bank representatives propose a freeze on currency markets and a fixed devaluation of the U.S. dollar in order to calm investors. 7:30 p.m., the United States. The sun sets on America. In the last 12 hours, the world has changed. Americans are glued to their televisions, taking a crash course on a debauched currency. Smoke from fires in the cities have put a dark cloud over the nation. 7:45, the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve announces it will inject $1.5 trillion into the market in order to stop any further decline in stocks. 7:55 p.m., OPEC. The final nail in the coffin. OPEC nations halt oil trades in U.S. dollars until further notice. They will only accept euros, renminbi, or gold. 7:59 p.m., the Federal Reserve's announcement to inject $1.5 trillion into the markets causes a sharp reversal in overseas markets. Stocks begin to rally even as Main Street melts down. 8 p.m., Manhattan. Gerard Adams, president of the National Inflation Association, sends out an urgent email alert. In it, he informs members that it is with great sadness that the time to warn and prepare Americans for hyperinflation has ended.
Now, I know some of y'all is probably saying, why in the world is Seth playing that deep economic stuff we don't understand? That ain't got nothing to do with us. It's over our head. But it's very, very simple. No matter how much money you got, what happens when the dollar becomes debased? I'm not really an economist, but even if you don't understand nothing that guy said, you got to go to YouTube and type in the day the dollar died and see the correct version. That's the short version of it. They break it down. I'm telling y'all, what you just heard, take it from your cousin, your brother, your daddy, whoever you, I am to you, because hopefully my kids listen to this show. I think they do. I'm not real sure. But I promise y'all, ministers, prophets, economists, all kind of people are on one accord. And this is not folks that normally, you know, we have these people that always want to give you the doom and gloom. They like telling you stuff, you know, America's going to, you know, Revelation, people that just live in Revelation, which I do think there's some truth to what they be saying, but some people just like giving you bad news. This is not that kind of a thing. These are serious people that don't have a reputation of scaring people. So just like with Katrina, there was a warning. Please, y'all, leave your homes. There is a hurricane coming. Please leave your home. This is going to be the strongest one that has hit in a long time. That is exactly what the preachers, the economists, are all saying. And again, I know what I'm talking about because I listen to this stuff. I do shows on this kind of stuff, and I'm telling y'all, this ain't the kind of people that like to just the conspiracy theory. That's what I'm trying to think of. This is not those kind of people. This is people that is serious. These are people that really, really know their stuff, and they've been saying this stuff. This is what's going to happen in our country. This debasing of the dollar is falling, and once it falls, what they don't tell you in that video is in that audio I just played. But they talk about social. How there's going to be riots in stores and a run on gas and a run on food and it gets deep. I'm not going to scare y'all, but I promise y'all, this thing about the dollar, a lot of investors, did you know a lot of investors do not have their money in U.S. currency? Bill Gates is one of them, at least some of his wealth. But anyway, so much for that. Some of y'all probably still don't understand what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, check out the audio, the video, the day the dollar died. They break it down for you, and they show you how real this is. This is where the United States is headed. So why are you talking about this, Seth? I'm talking about this because we are family, and we have our friends listening. We are a network, and it's time. Y'all can be right here thinking, you know, you got it going on if you want. But you better be networking with somebody that knows something about what you just heard. Maybe you're not an economist. You don't understand nothing about that audio I just played. And it probably confuses you. I'm not an economist either. But I do understand the sign of the times. Whenever you get ministers and the world and the church agreeing on the same thing and the Bible backing them, you know, folks, America is about to change, and 2012 is the year. They're saying it's the year. So, unfortunately, I think Barack Obama is going to win the election again. I really kind of wish he didn't, because what's about to happen, he's going to get the blame for all of it. So while I like him being president, that looks neat and cute to have a black couple up in the White House. Truth of the matter is, what's going to happen to the United States and this dollar falling? And us becoming more of a third world country and all this panic that's going to grip this country very soon, President Obama is going to be right at the head of it. And he will be blamed for it all. And so you wouldn't know if they blame on the black man. But anyway, one more thing, then I'm going to go and start the show. Amos is in the house. I see him lit up here. So I'll go to him shortly. But I just want to say this real quickly. Donna, Irene's oldest daughter, is going to have a show. Hopefully she'll call and give some information on it. I know she has some things she has to do tonight, but Donna is going to be hosting a teen show, dealing with younger people. And one more thing, it's going to be dealing with live, real live situations, whereas this show is designed to do what it do. Donna's show will be more designed with dealing with problems, the teens are having questions. We still have the number one rule for this show, the Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network, still have that number one rule, keep it positive, keep it positive. So ain't going to be no negative stuff, ain't going to be no talking about no relatives or nothing like that. She's just going to be dealing with teens with questions and issues that we may have in the family, you know. A lot of teens and young people have questions, and Donna ain't know it all, but she's just going to try to, you know, have people call in and just share different things and vent or whatever, as long as it's positive. That's going to be a challenge for her, for real. Also, this show, I have some more block time on this network. Block time means I got some more two-hour blanks that somebody else can come in and host another type of show. Maybe your show can deal just with cooking, or maybe your show can deal just with, I don't know, whatever's on y'all's mind. We don't just have to have this show, I do. There's other people can come in and share whatever the family and friends can benefit from, all right? So please note that. I'm looking for another person to host a show. It can be a Bible study. You got 2 hours a week on this Five Smooth Stone Network. We got room. So I have a show. Donna's going to be having a show, and there's still one more space. I got to pay for this, so we might as well benefit from it, right? And I'm not gloating that. I'm just saying, please, people, step up. And let's make this thing happen. We got the network. We got to get closer. And this is not no Irene Network, Irene Kids Network. I know this is a lot of, you know, us calling in. But y'all got to understand this is really everybody. I've tried to reach out as hard as I could to other parts of the family. And they do call. They do call. And I know they listen to the show in archives, the recorded shows. So all I ask is that you please, hold on, let me see. I got a little message here. Okay, somebody sent in a message and said to let everybody know that Donald Jr.'s, Caress, and Mama's birthday is the same. Did y'all know that? I did not know that. Again, Donald Jr.'s, Caress, and Mama's, Irene, my mother's birthday is all the same. Thank you, Tanya, for that reminder. She called us out on that. I appreciate that. It's a lot of birthdays, So, and all these February babies. But Amos was just on the line. He said something about his cell phone dropped out. I think what I may try to do with him is call him on a three-way, because I don't want his phone to keep dropping on us, because we want to hear everything he has to say. So it might have dropped again. So let's give him a few minutes to call back, and or either I'll call him on a three-way. I don't like doing a three-way because it's too I don't want to lose him. So let's give him a few more minutes to call back. But anyway, folks, young people, please support Donna. Call her and be on the show. And listen, any of y'all under 25, I think this last show, this last spot I got is for somebody. I mean, you don't have to be young, but I really want somebody to step up and take charge of this last 2 hours we got. Again, you got 2 hours to talk about or less, anything you want to, and I'm hoping somebody 25 and under will step up and do something, maybe with rap music or something. Or if we don't get no holler from nobody, then anybody step up and call, okay? So, again, one more time, Donna's going to be having a new show coming up very soon. I think in a couple of weeks, maybe as soon as next week, if we can get it together. And we have one more two-hour block time for somebody in the family to speak, and maybe you can just have the younger crowd listen to you. I know with me having all these older people on, some people don't see the value in it, but you will. You will sooner or later. Like I say, every week you might not want to listen to this show. It may not have that type of appeal to you, and I understand. But sooner or later, you're going to want to know who was Caleb Booker, or what did, you know, Aunt Irene, what was she about? I mean, how was she? And that's why we had the show the other day where me and Donna and Tanya and I think Morris went on it.
we was talking about Mama. And so because that was her interview. And so if you want to know who Irene was, what better way to listen to her kids? And then we had Aunt Robbie on. She talked about several things. And so this is how you get to know Iota. It's just simple. That's just that simple. Verna May was on for a whole hour talking about how the Most High led her and guided her to her, you know, being as prosperous as she is. And Ray was on talking about how, you know, his calling and different things in his life and his father and this and that and the other. And Caleb Booker Bud was on, Uncle Bud was on talking about, he was the very first show, talking about the North Side, Kirkpatrick, I Am Terrell. Gula B was on, which is my mother's father, that's Caleb Booker, his sister's children. Gula B was on, and his sister, Dorothy Jean, came on the very next week after him. Those are siblings of Leola Booker, which is Caleb Booker's sister, if I got that right. So a lot of family members, big family, big family, big family, and we're just trying to reach out to everybody and just network. Because like I said, that video ain't just a video. That is going to happen. Are you ready? Do you have your money and stuff other than a savings account? You know, I'm talking like I got it together. I so much don't. But I do know that something is about to happen, so I got a little bit of knowledge of what's going on. So I'm telling y'all, we got to think and network. That's one of the reasons I created this network, and I'm very serious. Yes, I'd like to see the family come together, be more united. I'm waiting on Amos to call back. Yes, I would like to see all that happen. But we need to unite for many reasons, not just because we family. We need to unite because we need to support each other in business, support each other in prayer, visit each other. Y'all need to be calling, saying who is sick and shut in, because we don't always know. Family's just too big to know everything. And then some of y'all thinking folks don't care about you. Ain't that folks got a life, you know? I know it's hard to see people on. Again, we're waiting on Amos to call back. And I think there he is. So let me just say this, and we'll go straight to Amos. It looked like he have a call back. But, you know, there's so much going on in the family, and I don't even have enough time to see all the Irene kids and her kids, much less trying to go over to other parts of Fort Worth and Dallas where we got family. It's just too hard. It's just too hard. So this network is to bring us all together if you need it. If you don't need it for a particular week, fine, but sooner or later you'll need it. Area code 682-556. Is this Amos?
Yes, it is.
All right, Amos. Well, welcome to the Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network. And like
good.
I said earlier, this is simply just a blog where we are just talking about family issues, be it birthdays, anniversaries. I just played a clip. This is the first time I did this, but I played a clip about how the dollar is going to die very soon. How, you know, people are pulling their money out and putting their money in Japanese yen and putting their money in the euro and putting their money. And the businessman is selling out the American public, putting jobs overseas because something is about to happen. And they ain't showing no love towards Americans. So I played the video called The Day the Dollar Died. Kind of just, you know, we have something called, Amos, the Booker Business section of the show. The Booker Business section. And at this time, that time of the show, that's between 9:30 and 10, we talk about economic stuff like, you know, job openings for mainly young people. And just anything economically that we think might help the family. You know, we're trying. I mean, it ain't no grade A show yet, but we're trying to just educate the family, you know. And that's why I did that Day the Dollar Died. It's a little bit over people's head, I'm sure, because it's talking about the economy. But I do believe this dollar's going to die. But anyway, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, what you're saying is very true. It's very true, and I have heard of that, you know, in abbreviated form, but it's going to get more pantomime as time go on. But what you're saying, you're right on the money. Of course, I don't have all the details as to, you know, what's going to happen when, but just know it's in the making, And I think we can kind of sense it in there. And all kind of evidence to support what you're saying. So in the near future, I'm sure we'll get more information in regards to what you're saying, particularly.
Yep, yep. And if people only knew how much, you know, me and Arlene talk about this a lot, but Arlene, she kind of, you know, she don't like it. It's too gloomy for her. She thinks it's too negative. And people want to live. You want to raise your kids, and they want to, you know, women don't, a lot of women, not all women, not all women, but a lot of women don't like to hear this kind of talk because it's gloomy, and everybody want to live, and people want to enjoy their life. I don't want to hear all this negative stuff. But the bottom line of it is America have done a whole lot to impoverish other nations. Now it's her time. And so the Most High have already declared in Revelation 17 about this whore, this nation that's called a whore, or better known as Babylon. And when you look at the characteristics of Babylon, you look at the United States, we are Babylon, whether we want to face it or not, and her end is not good. But anyway, I want to turn this into a Bible study. It's your night. It's your night. We want to hear from Amos Howard and all your experiences and different things you've experienced and known about Azalee and Caleb Booker's children and their children. So, again, welcome to the show. And let me start off by you introducing just how you are related to the family or came into the family or what connection do you have to the family. I'm going to let you describe that.
Okay. First of all, of course, I am Amos Howard, and I've been on the Booker family since 1955, which also tells my age, but at this point, I don't care. But anyway, I initially met the Booker.
Didn't you have your 80th birthday?
Yeah, on February the 5th, and a party. I sure did.
That is amazing. 80 years old. I'm trying to think if Aunt Robbie is that old. I don't think Aunt Robbie is that old, Amos. You might be the oldest guest we've had on the show.
I might be a year older than Robbie. I might be a year older than her, you know. But anyway, as far as the birthday concern, I had years ago, if anyone had told me that once I got this age, I would be in the same frame of mind and looking at the world the same way, I would have kind of doubted them. But thank God to my strong belief in God, that, you know, he's brought me this far. And I found also age is different stages. You know, age is attitude, first of all. It's how you feel about everybody and how you feel about yourself and what you accept as truth and knowing God as a whole. That has a lot to do with age. It's not necessarily how long you've been here, but it's what you've been through while you were here is what aged you. You've heard people say, I'm sure, that, man, they haven't aged a bit, this, that, and other. But and that's a lot of truth in that, because we know we've been here a long time. But anyway, that's another thing. But I'm just glad to be here. Yeah, I did have my 80th birthday, and I appreciate it very much. And I thank God, first of all, that he allowed me to be here. And I also realize that it's not by accident that I'm here. I'm here for a specific purpose. And fortunate enough, I think I'm on to what I'm here for. A lot of us do, I know, and a lot of us don't. But we have an assignment at birth. We all have an assignment. And if we're fortunate, a lot of us had already discovered what our assignment is. You don't decide what your assignment is. You discover it, because your assignment was given to you way before you had an idea of what it was. Okay. But as far as the Bookers are concerned, like I say, I met Ms. Azalee and Mr. Caleb Booker back in 1955. I just gotten out of the Army. And my brother, Monroe, he had already been here in Fort Worth. I relocated in Fort Worth in 1955. And Monroe was telling me about this family he met, and he was high on the Bookers. He told me, man, this family, you just got to meet them. There's some nice people and all this, you know. So I was, of course, anxious to meet everyone, so I did. And I joined Wesley Chapel Church, the same church they were going to in 1955. And that was
now, did you join Wesley Chapel as being influenced by the book, or were you join Wesley Chapel because of other reasons?
No, I joined Wesley Chapel because it was, first of all, I had initially belonged to a Methodist church, and it was a Methodist church, and it seemed like it was in tune with what I was used to, you know. And just so happened that the Booker family was there, too, which that made it all the more better, especially since I was, you know, for obvious reasons, interested in the Book of Family, you know, as will be brought out a little bit later. But it's the way they had service, what it represented, was coincided with what I had been used to all along. Coming from East Texas in a Methodist church, it's the same type of church with the same kind of service. So at that time, being young and all, it just appealed to me. So it just, everything just fit in well, you know. So I started working in the church. So I met the Bookers, all the family, Irene and Monroe and my brother, of course, and Naomi. We all kind of, you know, worked together. And Monroe had been knowing the Bookers for quite a while, and he was a good friend of Mr. Caleb Booker. But at that time, I was just meeting him. And that's when I found out he was a disciplinarian, you know. And as much as I liked his daughter, Irene, but I had to kind of like qualify, you know, because during that time, you couldn't just go and start associating with anybody's daughter without you either being somebody or at least making them think you were somebody. So I'm sure I did a little bit of both of those. Hopefully, I panned out, so evidently I did. And the rest of that is history. But anyway, we had a nice relationship for several years, from 55 to the next 6 or 7 years. During the same time, I came in association with a group called Texas Progressive Youth Cup. Now, I was a freedom fighter, because I didn't realize at first what I was, but I just had a nice inclination to help people, and they helped the calls, helped my calls, you know. So this group was called the Texas Progressive Youth Cup. So we went over the city, confronting all injustices in public places and so forth. So I started walking the picket line. I was, 24, 25 years old. But I was doing this kind of, I kind of questioned myself later on. You know, why I wasn't out like the rest of the young men, having fun. You know, basically, I had some, but not to a great extent. But then later on, the question was answered. This what prompted me to do this. It didn't necessarily come from me. But when I did some research and found out who I was and where I came from and the type of people I came from, see, I didn't have a choice. You know, like I said, it didn't come from Amos. I can't claim that it came from me, but it definitely came through me, through some other people, some of my ancestors and so forth. So I was
so
kind of glad of that.
You had some people in your family that was kind of militant, that was freedom fighters,
yes,
type of people?
Yeah, that,
like,
yeah.
Who? Like
go ahead.
Who? Like who?
Well, my father, Sherman Howard, my grandfather, Amos Howard, whose name I bear, who was a slave himself up to the age of 17 in Morris County, Texas. He was kind of like Chicken Joy Boy. He was a driver for his owners. And all that's documented. I have it right here. I'd be glad to show. I wish there's some way I could show it to you, but in time I will. But all that took place, well before my time. And up until 1937, I think, is when I actually left the country and went to Pittsburgh, which was a country town.
Oh,
so,
and let me do this, because somebody have a question about the slideshow. While y'all are listening to Amos on the internet, you're looking at these pictures that are going, they're sliding. We're talking about www.blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. Again, blogtalkradio.com, and then 5_smooth_stones. The first picture, just real quick, because some people just want to know who are these folks. One lady, you real close, look like you with her, and that's your cousin. Let me explain this real quick. All right, the first picture y'all see with Amos with the yellow shirts on, that's me to the left and Moppy, and a bunch of us, and that's Amos, all of us got these gold shirts. This is the Stop the Violence movement. This is the movement where they had over in Dunbar High School. A lot of people came out for that. Amos is the one that you designed those shirts, right?
Right.
Yeah, Amos is the one actually that designed these shirts we got on. But this was a big movement. David Johnson was actually there. Some of y'all know who David Johnson is. But he was there. A lot of people came out to that. A lot of people came out to that. At Dunbar High School, the police was there. Band was there, Dunbar. We walked. So that's what that is. The second photo is, and y'all have to forgive me, Amos, is you with one of your cousins, real nice looking lady with the older man, and I was going to put the names. I spoke with Sandra earlier, Sandra Duke. Y'all, some of y'all are saying, who is Sandra Duke? But Sandra Duke is actually the third picture. That's the one that sent me these photos of Amos, and that's her with Amos. When you see the young lady with Amos, nice-looking lady, that's actually Sandra Duke. I spoke, met her today. So that's Amos' cousin, correct, Amos?
Right.
Okay. But I don't know who the couple is. You know what I'm talking about? You got some cousins in Dallas, real nice-looking older lady. She told me she rode at Monroe's funeral. She said that she picked Monroe up and carried him on his back when he was little.
Oh, yeah, Fanny McClure.
Okay,
yeah, Fanny McClure. Yeah, Fanny McClure.
Yeah.
Fanny and Jane McClure. You probably remember Paula McClure. She used to have a talk show on the morning show then, coming from Dallas about 8 or 9 years ago. Paula McClure, you probably remember her. Well, that's her parent.
Jane, oh, really?
Fanny McClure. Yeah, and they were, by the way, they were at my party last Saturday night.
Yeah, it's a good-looking old lady. Yeah, but, oh, they was at your party?
Yes, they was at my party.
Okay, but anyway, that's the second photo. And then, again, Sandra Duke and Amos. Again, I just met her tonight or early today. And then the next photo, y'all know what that is. That's just a picture of Wesley Chapel and then a picture of the family tree. Okay, just so y'all know, that's who those people are. All right, now back to what you were saying. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but people was wanting to know. So go ahead with what you were saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and from time to time, you know, right now I'm presently involved with three groups. The Southeast Kingdom Neighborhood Association. And also the Stop the Violence Movement, the one that you spoke of a minute ago. And the One Accord Coalition. Those three. And from time to time people question me, you know, they ask me questions like, at your age, Amos, why are you still involved with these kind of things, you know? So I have to explain it to them, you know, because it is a reason there. Because I know I am part of it, and it's a part of history. And it's a parallel between what the people are doing now and what we attempted to do back in the 60s. See, during the Civil Rights Movement, in 64, when the Civil Rights Bill was passed, we became complacent after we gained the knowledge, the privilege of sitting on the front of the bus and to go in the front door. Now, that was a token within itself. But although it was a step, but it was a token. But what we did, we accepted the token instead of the prize. But what we did, we relaxed. I mean, I'm talking about the people of my generation, the people right under Martin Luther King. You know, it's as if he passed the baton to us and we dropped it. And it stayed dropped up, and we haven't really picked it up yet. But see, that's the problem. That's our problem today. People in my generation need to take responsibility for what we didn't do. We looked at that as an era where we had, for the next 25 or 30 years, we partied, we had fun, and we didn't take care of business like we should have done. And as a result, our youngsters are in the condition they are today. So it's just a personal responsibility. I feel like myself, number one, because I have to take responsibility. We have to lead by example. So if I can get out there at my age, where should Josiah be? Where should Malcolm be? Where should my children be? You know, where should they be? I can tell them, and I might get over to them, but if they see me out there doing what I'm doing, and which I haven't done on a lot of them yet, but maybe they'll understand the importance of this. See, since I'm in my right mind and I, you know what I'm doing, it might dawn on them, say, you know, if grandfather can do this, I mean, shouldn't we be doing it? You know, so maybe they'll catch on after a while, but I'm just taking some responsibilities I know that I'm responsible for, some of the things that we didn't do years ago that I'm doing it now. And more or less, I'm trying to set an example by explaining why it's important for us to do it, because there is a parallel between right now and what happened in 1964. Now, the way we're dropping the ball now, we are in the process of taking the token for the prize, as we did before. And one of the main things that could be a trick is the fact that we got a black president. And a lot of us, we think everything is all right, or at least we act that way. just because we got a black president. But our job had just begun. It's just a way for us to get in the door and do some of the things that we didn't do a long time ago. But if you don't know what to do, if you don't know your history, then you don't have any. So that's what I'm just trying to get that one point over. And if I can do that, that'll be one of the things while I'm alive. If I can just get that point over, not only to my people, but for all people, especially younger people, about their history and what they must do in order to proceed, you know. So that's what I'm adamantly involved in right now, and I certainly hope that I can, you know, pass it on to someone else, name it to my children, and not only these children, but anybody's children, you know, because that's what it's going to take, a concerted effort between all of us. First of all, we have to understand where we are, you know, just like you were speaking of a moment ago, because if we don't know where we are, we don't know where we can go, you know. If we don't know our history, we are destined to repeat it over and over again, just as we did. But as I said, back in the day, what we refer to, back in the 60s, after the desegregation supposedly was happened, we was able to spend our money anywhere we wanted to, or go in any door we wanted to go in. But the only thing wrong with that, we stopped. When we got able to spend our money anywhere we wanted to, we forgot about our own people. And as a result, we had 3 black hotels downtown Fort Worth. We had a bank. We had owned and operated service station all over town. We had grocery store. We had everything we needed. But what we gained through segregation, we lost a lot of it through integration. And that's what we really have to be aware of. And if I could just get that one point over, then I feel like, you know, I've accomplished a great deal. So that's why I do what I do. And
so you
know,
I was just going to comment on something you just said. You say you don't think integration was all that.
Not as a whole. I mean, on the surface, it looked good on the surface, but, I mean, when you look at depth into things, a lot of things look good on the surface. But when you examine it, you know, and see how we were and see how we helped each other during that time and see where we've come to, you know, I don't think that's progress. You know, a step backwards to me is not progress. And I've seen too much to be fooled to think that something has happened when I know it's not. You know, they say you can't judge a tree by the fruit it bears, but I think so. You don't go to an apple tree looking for a pear because they're not there. You know, you can look at the fruits of what we're doing, look at the fruits of what integration has done as a whole. Now, it opened the door, true enough. It opened the door, you know, but as to whether we came in and what we did as we got in, that's a whole different color. And I think that's not easy to recognize, you know. I just happen to be a person who's inquisitive. I always did ask a lot of questions. When I was coming up, I got a lot of backhand licks. I better ask my parents the wrong kind of questions. And kind of like you were, you know, you always, they couldn't tell you anything they had to show you. Well, that's, I was the same way. And thank God it paid off because I'm not selling for this is what's supposed to be so good and you can't see the forest and the trees and all that, you know. I can see beyond that. And like you say, it's at least that you say and a lot more too. But as to whether we're ready to recognize and embrace that you say, I don't think so.
So that's why I think we
need to focus. And I think the main focus should come out of the church. You know, there's a lot of observers to inform people as to what is going on. But I think our biggest informing should come out of the church. And in many cases, we need to change our agendas. You know, I ain't got nothing against the shouting, the praising, the hand clapping, all that. But that represents something. And the way I look at this is like I kind of compare it to a football game. Before a football game, we have a pep rally. You know, we burn the tiger and burn the lion and all that, you know, during the pep rally. But if you don't play out on the gridiron, when you get out on the field, that's where you play. I don't care how much you burn the tag and the line or whatever that is, if you don't play hard when you go on that football field, you're going to lose. So that's what the church is. It teaches you how to live, but out here's where we live in, you know.
Do me a favor, Amos.
And,
you're talking into your phone, talk into the back of your phone. Flip it around. I know it's a little awkward, but talk in the back of your phone.
Oh, okay. Can you hear better?
Yeah, because what happened if you talk directly to the phone, it's a lot of static. Flip it over and talk to the back of the phone. I know it sounds crazy, but do it. Trust me, you're going to sound a lot better.
Okay, how about now?
Yeah, you fine. Just talk to the back of the phone as though the back of the phone is the front of the phone. Okay, I want to ask you, let's switch gears a little bit here.
Okay.
So, actually, keep going down that church road. I like that. Keep going down. I hit that a little bit longer. I like that. So you have problems with the church?
Well, not necessarily. I like to go to Sunday school because we learn, we talk, we discuss things. And last Sunday we were talking about forgiveness. And I was explaining this to people, and they should know. But for instance, when you say the Lord's Prayer, you know that's one thing came up. And I was explaining to them when you say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, you are asking God to forgive me according to the way I forgive others. And we wonder why our prayers don't be answered, you know. But you already asked God to forgive you according to the way you forgive somebody else. And you literally have bound yourself to forgive somebody else. That is, if you want to get forgiven yourself. And that's just one of the things that was pointed out, you know, last week. There's a lot of other things that are pointed out, but we have just gone and took the church for entertainment rather than salvation. And that's the part that bothers me. I can't be a part of something that if I see it's not doing what it wants to do. Now, the church is not wrong as a whole. Don't get me wrong. You know, I was brought up in the church, and I was brought up. Ain't nothing I like better than God himself and from Jesus. I love me some Jesus, but I love the right kind of Jesus. I don't love one that somebody manufactured and gave to me, you know. If you're talking about the same one describing the Bible, absolutely. But, you know, I just feel like we're taking the wrong approach to the way we serve him, so to speak. I feel like it's something that should be done rather than said. And one reason I've never been a limelight type of person because I'd rather be, heard more than seen, actually. You know, so I always kind of like being in the background of a lot of things. My name could be prevalent in a lot of things here in Fort Worth if I was that kind of person, if I hogged the spotlight. But I feel like it should be something in my walk that tells you who I am. You know, I don't think you have to have a sign on your chest saying, I am a Christian. I believe it should be something you do that indicates that you are a Christian. But from what I can see nowadays, it's not too much of that. So that's one of the things that we come in every once in a while. You know, I don't just beat nothing to death. I present it to a person. If they see it, well and good. But we discuss things. I don't know no more than the next person. I just know different from the next person. But a little child can tell me something, all depending on what it is, you know, he's talking about. As long as it makes sense, but it's got to add up, you know. And as far as being wise, I know people look at me as being a wise man, but years don't necessarily make gray hair don't necessarily make you wise, you know. You know, you can be 85 or 90 and still have a loose screw, you know. But then some point in life that we have to come into the knowledge of who we are, why we're here, and what your assignment in life is. And that's what I think should be emphasized more than anything else, because we all do have a definite assignment. I don't care how large or how small, we all have assignment. It is something I can do that can't nobody else do it better than me. If God got it for me, I feel like it's for me and for nobody else, you know. And that's with everybody. Everybody have a similar assignment in life that they can do, you know, better than anybody
else.
Let
me ask you this. I'm going to mention a name. I'm going to mention a word, and you tell me a story that goes with this word, okay? I'm going to do the interview a little different tonight with you.
Wait, you going to tell me? You going to do what now?
I'm going to give you a word or a phrase, and you give me a story to go along with it if you have it.
A story? Okay.
A story or a comment or something. First word a phrase I'm going to give you is the north side.
Just the north side?
North side. Yeah. What comes
to your mind? Are you speaking of right now, in the past, or as a whole, or however?
1960.
North side, 1960. Okay. Industry. Jobs plentiful. People caring about each other. People looking out for each other. You know, that's the number one thing that comes to me, because there was a lot of jobs. There were several packing houses booming. The McKinley Line Works, where I got my very first job at. And there were several jobs. You could just get, you could go up on the corner of 33rd and Long at Mr. Leroy's. And he was kind of like an entrepreneur. He would take people to work. They had a hayfield, they had a cotton field, anywhere. So people couldn't say that I don't have no job, I can't work. Because every morning you could go up there, every workday morning there, you could go up there and you could catch out and go to various jobs. You could go to cotton field, you can pick cotton, you could go to the hay fields. You can go, just all kind of work. Mr. Leroy, anybody on the north side, all the older people, they can tell you about him.
Okay,
you
know? Here's
so
another
looking
way.
Looking on the north side, especially the north side, and in the stockyards as well. You could do the same thing down there. So everything was plentiful for those who would want to look for it, you know. So
okay, here's
it didn't make sense to nobody say, I can't find no job.
Here's another word or phrase. Azalee Booker.
Okay. Azalee Booker. Wow. Pioneer. Christian lady. One of the first ladies I met here that I recognized was a true Christian. And she was true to what they, true to what she said, true to what you believe in. And a disciplinarian.
What do you mean? Break that down.
Well, she was a disciplinarian, for one thing. She believed in discipline. She believed in, you know, people doing what they said they was going to do. Because I was always careful. Me being, I never have been outspoken too much. You know, I was always kind of hesitant. And if I would say something, I would make sure that I could do what I say for the fear. I had a fear of failure, I guess, because I was kind of like a professional. I try to overdo things a lot of times, and then it still wouldn't come out, you know, like it's supposed to do, like it's supposed to come out. But she's one of the people that I looked up to, and I wouldn't allow her to see me doing anything unbecoming due to the fact that I liked the daughter. That was one of the things. But that's where we were in general. But with Miss Booker and them, see, it was different because of the tie we had, you know, with Irene, you know, which I was interested in, Monroe, of course, Naomi. So Naomi had children by, you know, Monroe had children by Naomi. And Irene, we had a child, you know. So that was something special in the day, you know. And I tried to seek the approval of everybody, all the old peoples, you know, period. But especially the people who I had an interest in, especially their daughter, like Irene was. So even if I wasn't all of that, I had to make it look like I was.
Let me ask you this. Speaking of Monroe, you were saying some things about Tina. You know, and I'm sure
oh, yeah.
She probably has kids. Blake.
Oh, yeah, in particular, I was going to mention that. You know, yeah, Tina, early on, you know, Naomi, one thing I want to say about Naomi, and not too many people know this, because Naomi, she's kind of plain-spoken, but she's very, and I love her to death. She would always come over to the house. She had a good relationship with Mother. She was one of the younger ladies that had a good relationship with Mother, and Mother had with her, and I love her for that today. And that is the one reason why Linda was at my party Sunday night, I mean Saturday night. You know, Naomi's daughter, Linda. And Tina, during the time she was here, now, Tina, the one that I talked to the most, we had a special relationship, me and Tina, and not too many people know about that. We would always talk, we'd always go to church, and she would always tease me, you know, about Aunt Irene, you know. So she's one of the people that I could talk to. Tina was.
What kind of things she teased you about? What kind of things she teased you about with regards to Mama?
Well, you know, this. When young people, you know, come over, I wasn't too young during that time. I was kind of middle-aged. And in case I was doing, if I would be doing something, if I'd be showing, paying attention to somebody else or just, but she would be kidding. So then kidding way, she's, well, I won't tell Irene, you know, things like that. If I'd be doing anything, if it appeared that I was doing something out of order, any kind of way, she just, that is her way of, I guess, chastising me in a sense. Because she know that we all were trying to impress. In those days, you had to impress. You just couldn't. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't appear any kind of way if you wanted to get along with anybody's daughter coming on. Not only them, but anybody else that you respect. So she just always tell me, that's how she kept me in check. Well, Uncle Amos, you know, it's another. And a lot of time I'd be sleeping, she'd tease me about being asleep, you know. So that
in church, sleep in church? Am I sleeping in church?
Well, in church, anywhere, you know. A lot of time we'd be up late at night, you know, and go to church late, and we'd be kind of sleepy, you know, and she'd always tease me in particular. I don't know what about anybody else, but she teased me. It's always somebody like that could get next to you. And she just happened to be the one that, you know, I just took up with, and that, because Linda, she's nice, too, and I love her just as well, but if it's somebody I've seen her, she's less like my little old partner, you know what I'm talking about? She's my niece, true enough. But we just had this special relationship. And, you know, she would come over to the house and we would talk about whatever, you know, no particular thing, anything. She would always talk to me about anything because I was always the kind of person to try to understand. You know, before I would criticize anybody, I would try to see the good in what they're doing and I would try to understand what it was they were saying. So that way, she felt free in talking to me, you know, like that.
As an
uncle. Linda, we have a good, like I said, she was at my party the other night, and I talk to Linda all the time, you know. Always, hey, this is, it's not something that just not happened. It's from day one, ever since they've been here, and that's the way we were. No matter what kind of problem we had and which we did, there were problems. There were some ups and downs in all our relationships, you know. But through the years, what I'm so glad about, we retained a relationship through the years that, you know, just never decayed. So that's what I remember about the North Side and what I remember about Wesley Chapel, what I remember about the North Side period. That's what I like to think about and when I go over there. And every time I go to the North Side, I either think about 2908 Ross, that address ring a bell. And, of course, I said, yeah, I would think about it. And that's what I was talking about here. And if I could think about that now, y'all would know it must have meant something to me a while back. Really, you know.
Well,
yeah,
let's do this, Amos. We got people in the chat room. I don't know who,
okay.
Who ain't signed in, and they won't. I mean, they can be incognito. That's cool. But
I'm just talking.
It's okay. Hold on 1 second. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. So we got people in the chat room. Don't know who they are because they're not registered with Blog Talk. So they just chilling and listening. We got people on the phone lines. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a little break here. I do this with everybody. I want you to kind of think about what you've talked about. And when we come back, just what is it you want to share even more when we take this break, it always gets people to thinking. You know, I remember when Verna May, we took a break with her, she came back, she had some very interesting things to say. So we'll take this break, and I want you to just think about what is it you want to share. What is it you didn't say that you want to say, and we'll just talk about it when you come back, okay? But be thinking of something.
Okay, is that
what I want to share?
Yeah,
Don't share it now. But when we come back from the break, we'll take a break. You go get you something to drink, and then come back and say, oh, I forgot to say this. I forgot to say that and share it with us. And we'll just take it from then, okay? So get you get your drink, and we'll be back in a little bit, okay?
Okay. Keep the phone open. All right. Yeah, that's cool.
That tonight's gonna be a good night.
Okay, those of y'all just tuning in all late, we are with Amos Howard tonight. He is our guest on the Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network. And we've been shooting up with Sharon, just talking about a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Northside, Ashley Booker, Kayla Brooks, just a little bit of everything. So we, again, thank Amos for stopping by and saying hello to everybody. So we're going to go ahead and finish up this interview and wrap everything up for tonight. We got another 20 minutes. Those of y'all on the phone lines or in the chat room, please, if you've got a comment or a question, if you're on the phone line, simply press 1. That's all you got to do is just press 1, and I'll see, oh, you got a hand up, and I'll come to you. If you're in the chat room and you have a name other than the name Jeff, you can comment. You've registered, and we'll see you. You can type in your question, Seth, ask this, and I'll see it, or you can make a comment, okay? But until you do that, I'm going to go ahead and just bring on Amos and just finish the interview. All right, Amos, anything you think of you'd like to share that you missed? We got 19 minutes.
Well, yeah, one thing in particular I was saying, Matt, I don't know what field you want to speak on, or does it matter, really?
No, just whatever's on your mind. If you just whatever's on your mind.
Okay,
you
yeah. Well, here's one thing I want to share with you. I'm sure, I don't know, you may or may not have known this, but in detail, you know, back 4 years ago, my brother passed about 4 years ago, Monroe. And
right.
During that time, I was experiencing some, at least I just got over a bad case of blindness. I was legally blind for a whole year. During that time. And that's one thing a lot of people don't know. And I had an experience that I'd like to share with you during that time. I would go, I would catch the bus in my house, and I'm blind. I'm was diagnosed legally blind, but I never stopped going. And I didn't realize that you could do so much, and then you still couldn't see that well. So, but due to the fact that I had a, and this is more or less a test of the, testimony, and I wrote a book about it. Matter of fact, I haven't gotten it in type yet, but I got it handwritten out. I wrote a book about my experiences during the time that I couldn't see. Well, I was legally blind. I could see my hand before my eyes, you know, but I couldn't see well enough to be going anywhere. I should have been at the house, you know, but I didn't stop. I was determined to keep going, and I said to myself, well, now's the chance for me to demonstrate my strong belief, because I always did feel like I had a strong belief in God, that I could do all things. You know, that's one of the things, I thank God that I, you know, manufactured that somehow in my psyche. So I went places, and I would ride the bus, and, man, I had the strangest time seeing things, and I had some experience in Dallas that staggered your imagination. But anyway, I'm writing a book about it now, and it's no more than a testimony about it. You know, where I went, what I did, and why I did it. Because, you know, God uses people. I didn't realize then, during that time, I had no idea why it was. And I was by myself. I was half scared to death, really, because I stayed New York and Powell, a high crime area, you know what I'm talking about? But I never stopped going out, even go for walks in the evening. I would walk by a lot of guys I know was dealing on the corner and thing, but I had no fear, and that's what kind of bothered me after it was all over. I looked back and saw what crazy things I was doing. But when you go out and set out for God, you know, you start doing things from faith and not by sight. You know, you can do a lot of things. I didn't know that, and I couldn't have said that like that then. But after it all over, looking back, I know it had to be God that guided me over all this thing. I'm writing a book about that right now. So what I'm going to need is someone to – I got the book written, handwritten, but I'm going to have it typed out. So if there are any listening, if you know anyone who could kind of assist me with getting it typed properly and getting it into book form, because like I said, I already have it written. And the reason it took me so long, you know, my brother died. Mondo died in the process of this. Okay, so it's been about 3 or 4 years since I've been doing it. And a lot of things he told me, I didn't feel justified to close this book out unless I incorporated some of the things that Mondo told me, some of the things we talked about. So I share some of that in the book as well. But it's basically a testimony of where I went and what I did and how I knew God was with me.
But what happened to your sight?
Uh-huh.
What happened to your sight? I mean, how's your sight now?
Oh, it's just like it always was before the thing, before the fact.
So what happened? I mean, you just
blind cataract. Okay, after 98, after my wife passed in 98, well, I started, you know, I stopped cooking for myself. I was going out. I was eating out. So I feel like my eating habits and my lifestyle caused me to have cataract. That's why I feel, you know, like what happened. So I was caught up in a situation where I just really couldn't see. You know, at first I kind of overlooked it, you know, and tried to ignore the situation. But it became so obvious that I had to do it. So reluctantly, I went and had this operation, you know, one eye at a time. So eventually my sight came back, you know, after having, you know, two operations. But what really spurred me to have this operation was I would walk to the bus stop, you know, and I would speak to people. I could zone them. I couldn't really see them that good. And I passed the house next door, and they had two chairs sitting on the front porch. So I spoke as if I'm perpetrating, trying to play like I can see. So I spoke to what I thought was in people's, well, number two chairs. I said, "How y'all doing?" But when nobody answered me back, well, I kind of like turned around and looked back good, and there wasn't nobody out there. So I came to the conclusion, man, you can't see. You got to do something about yourself. So I went on and had this operation done, and my sight came back to me. And but the things I went through, which I managed, it would take another book to tell you about all the things I went through when I was blind, like catching the bus here, going to Dallas, transferring to the dark, going to VA, coming back. And I had some experiences they're in the book. You know, one time I went to sleep on the train. I had taken some medicine, and I was kind of groggy. I went to sleep on the dart coming back. So I missed my stop, and I went all the way to Garland. But when I woke up, although when I left it was light here, but when I woke up, it was dark. You know, I kind of dozed off. It was dark everywhere. So, man, I looked around, and I didn't recognize where I was. And I said, man. So I had to play it out, you know. So although it was dark, but suddenly the light came, you know. So as a result, I went through a tunnel and didn't realize. as I passed through the tunnel, then it was light. But, you know, not knowing and halfway days from sleepiness, you know, I just kind of played it out. But then
Let me do this, Amos. Somebody's actually on the phone. Somebody has a question or a comment.
Yeah, that would be easy.
So let me do this. Let me just see what they want, and we'll go back to what you're saying. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah,
area code 9940498. I want you to go ahead. You're on the air. Who is this?
It's Donna, but I didn't have a question. I was just clicking in to listen. How you doing, Amos?
Fine. How you doing, Donna?
I actually got in late. I'm fine. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm fine.
That's
good. I have no complaints.
That's good.
Well,
sounds good.
Donna, it's good you clicked in, but if you don't have a question or comment,
But it's good you clicked in.
Okay, well, go ahead, Amos.
All right, so just you missed a whole lot, though, for real. You just now clicking in. I hate to tell you that, but you just talked a lot about the North Side and Mama and Tina, lots about Tina and Monroe. But anyway, I'm going to put you back on hold. Donna, when I put you on hold, about 2 minutes, press 1 on your phone again so your hand will go down. And then if you want to comment later, if you want to comment later on after about 2 minutes, then press 1 again.
Okay.
Okay.
I got you.
So Don is now on the phone listening. And so go ahead now, Don, and press 1 on your phone so your hand will go away. And then later on, press it again if you have a comment. Okay. So now Don is in the house. But go ahead, Amos. I wanted to ask you this if you don't mind. Now, you mentioned Mama and how you had to press, impress her family to, you know, date her and all that. I understand that.
Well, not necessarily the family of Mr. and Mrs. Booker. That's the main one, you know. I wasn't trying to impress Robbie or Naomi, none of those. But, you know, the head.
Speaking of Robbie, go ahead.
Yeah, what I'm saying, during that time, it was different the way it is now. You know, if you was going to call yourself liking some lady's daughter, you know, you couldn't disappear any kind of way, you know. They had to think at least you were something to somebody. So either you had to act like it or be at one, you know. So that's just the way it was with everybody, basically, you know. So that's all I'm saying. I couldn't be. And due to the fact that Monroe was my brother and he already knew the family, they liked Monroe, so that kind of helped me to get kind of closer, you know. But eventually I had to prove myself, at least I was a word, because that's how, you know, I went to church and I did things I was supposed to do. And this is over the years. It wasn't no one little time thing. It was from year to year to year to year, you know. And the Leviticus, Yes.
Go ahead. No, go ahead with that point. Then after you finish, I'll ask you a question.
I said, no, that was just the way it was back then. I know it's hard for the younger people to recognize the fact, but, you know, very seldom did a woman have a daughter was courting somebody that she didn't know who he was, you know, because everybody slipped and did something, don't get me wrong. But basically, the parents had to know something about who you was liking, you see. So they more or less had to prove you in a sense.
I understand.
Yeah, this wasn't no different than nothing. You know, that is the way we did back then. You know, you couldn't, and like a lot of the youngsters now, man, looking, they couldn't even think about going up there. You know, especially, it was tough, man. I won't go through all the details, because me and Mr. Cable, we talk and everything, you know. So he feel
what
like...
What kind of conversation you have with Mr. Caleb?
Conversation?
Yeah.
Well, you know how... Basically, what you do, you weigh people out. I know I do that now, so I know it's about what he was doing. He had to see, you know, where I was and how I believed and, you know, how I believe in certain things and around the church. Did I go to church where I went before then and everything, you know? And they made it known that, you know, they won't, they're all treated right and you have to impress them, you know. I mean, this is from scratch. It's not that you did anything wrong, but they check you out to see if you the type of person that would do something wrong, you know. But due to the fact that I don't handle...
Now, you was older than Aunt Robbie, correct?
We're pretty close, same age. I might be older than her. We're close.
I don't think Aunt Robbie is 80 nothing. I don't think she said she had a birthday, and I think she said she was 79. It was up there, but I don't think it was 80.
Oh, okay. I'm probably older. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might be
okay,
older.
So
you know.
So now you come over to Caleb Booker's house. Grandpa Caleb, I guess I should say. And you older than the oldest daughter. And so he probably was checking out for real because Mama was younger than Aunt Robbie and Aunt Naomi. You understand where I'm going with this?
Right.
So he probably was checking you out for real.
Well, since the main thing, I had been in the Army now. See, anytime you go to the Army and come back, you're probably different than just run the mill, little country boy where I come from, you know. I've been to the city. I've been overseas. I had a lot of experience in life. So, but not just me, man. I mean, that's just the way it was. I remember my sister used to go to the movie with her boyfriend, and a lot of times we went with them. You know, that just early on. You know what I'm talking about? But that's just the way. It's just the way. It's nothing new or nothing. It's just the way people believe and the way people did during that time. You know, you couldn't just be a nobody. Ain't nobody gonna prove you saying this, and I'm sure you wouldn't now. I mean, you don't do it like they did then. You don't go all out to do it. But you should know something about somebody who's going to spend time at your house. So that's what those people are looking at. I had to be all right. And what helped me, helped them to realize that I might be all right due to the fact that Monroe had already, they had already liked Monroe. He had already, you know, been approved, so to speak, by them because, you know, they all liked him. You know, they'll tell you that.
Let me ask you another question. Now, Mama, remember I said I'm going to say something, I'm going to give you a word or a phrase, and you tell me a story about it, I'm going to give you another word and phrase, and then we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to give you about maybe four more words and phrases, and you give me a short little story, okay? Here's another phrase. Prayer, faith, temple.
Wow. Man, the first real service. I ain't going to say the first real service. And I ain't going to say that's the cross where I first saw the light, but I tell you what, when you say prayer, faith, temple, it's my real service, different service, meaningful service. That's why I come in contact with all that at Prayer, Faith, Temple.
Now, let me just say this for those listening, because some people are listening, they're saying, what is Prayer, Faith, Temple? Prayer, Faith, Temple is the church I come up under. Mama was A
right.
and me. She ended up going to Reverend Holland Church. All them rollers, holy rollers, folk literally rolling, holy
rollers. Yeah.
Andre Cross said, they call us holy rollers, and what they said is true. But if they knew what we was rolling about, they'll be rolling too.
Well, yeah, I
can't
say like that.
That's, I said that because somebody thinks I'm making fun of them. But anyway,
well,
Jesus.
No, you're right. 100%.
Go ahead. So after Reverend Holland, we moved over to, Mama moved us over to this, instead of a black church like Reverend Holland Church, she moved us over to Prayer Faith Temple, which was the first integrated church in Fort Worth, Dallas area, Prayer Faith Temple. That's what it was, folks. It was a Pentecostal church. Now go ahead, Amy.
Okay. Well, that was the first time that I had spent that much time in a Pentecostal church. And they seem like they take things more seriously. Well, that's differently, you know. Coming out of a Methodist church, then going to a church like that, it was just everything that's different. And they pray
so
different. They do it individually.
Hold on. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I interrupt you because I'm pressed for time. But we can roll over. We can go a little bit over the time, you know. But folks, we ain't going to hold y'all long. But I just got to ask this. And I'm throwing this question for time. So those of y'all that say, well, I'm not going to stay past 11. But if y'all hang around just a little bit, we'll wrap up pretty shortly. But listen, what did you think about this woman that you had a liking to, who was a tongue talker, who shouted backwards? I mean, who shouted? And this, you come from AME Church. So what did you think of that?
Oh, you're talking about Irene?
I'm talking about Irene.
Let me straighten something out. I'm glad you asked that. We didn't start out. We started Wesley Chapel AME Church. That's what we started at. We worked in the church together. Wesley Chapel, you know, for Wesley Chapel, that's the Methodist church. So eventually, Irene went to this church. Eventually, she went there, you know, and, the rest is history. I could say a lot about those things, too, but I won't. But,
About the belief system. I'm really talking about the belief system. What did you think of? I want to know what you
it's just another way of serving God. It's another way. As long as you understand where a person is coming from, and I was one of the few people that understood during that time. You know, during that time, I remember when she first started, before she went to the Prayer Faith Temple, Then after she went, we had conversations after in regard to what she'd done. And she actually met some opposition at first when she first went. Because, you know, change is one of the hardest things for human to do. And for her to suddenly become one of those, and she probably the first one in the family to go to church, I imagine. You know, I'm not sure. But and change is just automatically different. Everybody's always standing off and just scared. And she ventured out to this thing, you know. So I said, hey, you know, if it worked, you know, do it.
Okay, let me throw another word at you. Let me throw another word or phrase at you. What, I mean, because I know you can talk more about prayer, faith, but let me throw another phrase at you, or word, or name.
Uh-huh.
Robbie Lowe. Robbie Lowe. Back then she was Robbie Lowe. I'm not even saying Reverend Robbie Lowe yet. I'm just saying Robbie Lowe before the ministry.
You say something, what do I think about when I see Robbie Lowe? Well,
Miss Robbie Lowe before ministry. Just anything that come to your mind.
Everything. Well, let me kind of like put it all together, you know. I remember, because like I said, I knew Robbie before she was in the ministry. And once she got in the ministry, yeah, I never judged nobody. I kind of try to wait and see.
Hold on a second. My question is, prior to ministry, everybody talk about Aunt Robbie. We know about Aunt Robbie. We served at a church. We've been there. We have musicals. We know a lot about her after. I just like to know before, as young people coming up 25, you know, what kind of history y'all have is, you know, you dating her sister. I'm just saying, what do you remember about Aunt Robbie?
Well, prior to her, the ministry, and as far as her intervention with me, and I don't remember anything in particular. I mean, she always, you know, treated me civil and nice, wasn't nothing special one way or the other, you know. And I don't remember anything that would be unusual about the way she, you know, and even with Naomi, you know, and we always have been tight. I don't remember anything. The only thing, well, no, you ain't coming near me, so I'm not going to go there. But anyway, I don't remember anything in particular that I could, you know, put on her or remember her from one thing or another.
Okay, that means y'all got along pretty good then, if you don't remember anything in particular. So I'm going to mention these names, Alma Jean. I'm going to mention two names, Verna Mae. Actually, I'm going to mention three names. And Dwight, the three of them. Does you remember any history you want to share with either one of those three?
Alvin Jean, Verna Mae. Well, I looked at Alvin Jean and Verna Mae almost as a little sister, to tell you the truth about it. You know how an older brother look at a little sister? That's where we were.
Right.
And I'm like a month ago, they automatically thought I was going to be all right. So they didn't judge me. They looked at me in the same, almost the same, not really, but almost the same light as they did Monroe, because I was Monroe's brother. And if any way I got, they just associated me with being all right due to the fact that I was Monroe's brother. And we absolutely don't have no kind of, not Alma Jean and Verna Mae. Because when they see me now, it's just like they met a friend or something. As a matter of fact, the very last time I saw Verna Mae was at EC's funeral, EC Douglas' funeral. And when I came in the door, I'm sitting back there. She grabbed me by the hand to bring me down there where the relatives were. That's the way we roll right now. Wherever she see me, it's the same, exact same thing. And no difference whatsoever, and it never have been, not between Verna Mae. Now, Alma Jean, we wasn't quite a... I guess I ran Verna earlier. You know more. But Alma Jean, it wasn't quite, you know, as outwardly shown.
There was an age difference. I understand. Let me ask you this, Amos. I'm kind of moving a little fast, but I want to get this person in. Caleb Booker. I know you got some history, Caleb Booker. You mentioned him earlier.
Well, Ms. Caleb Booker, I would say disciplinarian, number one.
No, I'm talking about Uncle Bud.
Oh, Bub. Oh, man. Me and Bub was tight all the time. We, you know, up until Bud left, it went to I thought it was California, but he told me it was Denver. We was tight, you know. All the way, we never had no nothing, you know, as far as adversity.
Right. Donna, hold on a second. We got a question from, look like Donna. I think that's Donna. But go ahead and share about the girlfriend you were telling about, the history with her real quick, and then we're going to get Donna's question to comment. Anybody else got a question to comment? Press 1 on your phone. Go ahead.
The history who now?
Bud, Uncle Bud's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. During the time of the Civil Rights Movement, we were placing different people, what we call, it was a token then, you know. So black people had never been in certain positions, like working front offices and in a water, light, gas company that we placed several people in for the very first time. And we didn't know how it was going to come out either time, so we said it was just a token, but we had to start somewhere. So Beverly Hempfield, which was Miss Hempfield's niece, and she was a school teacher here. Most people know her. Most older people know her. That was her niece. Now, Bub, of course, that was his friend. But what we did, we put her in this position of the shooter. When the first, she was the first black grocery checker in Fort Worth, the very first one. And then Rex will prove that if you kind of look it up. Just look at the, they call them boycotts back then or demonstrations. But now we call it the Civil Rights Movement. But the Texas Progressive Youth Cup, which was the organization that I was associated with, we chose Beverly Hempfield, Miss Hempfield's daughter, to be the very first black grocery checker. And the place was the Stockyard Market at that time. Now, this place is located on Clinton Street, just before you get to, no, not on Clinton, on 25th Street, 25th and Clinton, right there. It's called something else now, but back in the day, it was the Stockyard Market, and that was the very first black that was in any position as far as a white-collar job, a blue-collar job.
Let's do this, and let's see what question or comment Donna have real quick,
okay.
If you don't mind.
All
do you
right.
mind?
Not at all,
all right,
man.
Donna, go ahead.
Amos, I heard you say that Grandpa Caleb was a disciplinary. Was he, how tough was he? Was he just your typical, or was he?
No, just a typical. Well, look here. He is the same way that I would be about my daughter meeting some guy that he didn't know. That's all.
So how did he act? I mean, was he verbal, or was he just with this iron, with a iron fist, you know, just, you know, he put the hammer down. Was he kind of cool, calm, and collected?
Well, between those,
I always
like
heard
this.
That he was a mean grandpa.
Well, maybe so, but this is where I'm gonna put it. He was just to the point. You know how some people try to butter it up or try to sweeten it up to make it look like,
yeah,
this. And
but he just got.
That ain't the way it was. That ain't the way it was with him. He just tell you straight up, you know. And being concerned with his daughter, and I guess, for obvious reason, you know, I'm just contract service. I'm, you know, a guy that's supposed to be helped and everything. You know, I'm not from the country no more. I've been to the city. I was in New York a while and all this. But then I would have the same concern on the basis of the time. You have to look at the time back in the late 50s and early 60s.
Right.
You have to look at the time that it was, and for good reason. You know, but
yeah,
it all paid off. But I was glad to know some people don't care what their daughter, what the children do.
Yeah,
they
feel
not to care anyway. Big part?
Yeah. I was getting ready to
Yeah,
ask
so
you
I was glad to know
was
to
you,
say
was
this girl here, you know, yeah, that made me think, well, this girl here is all the more special because look at this, look at that, look how they, you know. So,
yeah.
No, he wasn't.
Donna, go ahead with your question because I got a question about Wings Over Joy.
No, I was just saying with some of the stories I've heard that he probably grew up hard and he left home at a very early age and really didn't have much. But when he started having his family, that
oh, Mr. Caleb,
was,
you talking about?
Yeah, he was an upstanding man. He I was told that he if singers came into town, they stayed there at Madea's house, and they sung gospels on the radio. I think he was just that hard guy that meant he was going to not lose his family to nothing. And he was just a hard person.
I say he was direct and to the point.
Yeah,
he was direct.
So he wasn't beating around the bush. And for me, I would rather have a person in my corner that was straight to the point, and you didn't have to guess about him because he's going to let you know straight up.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
This is who I am. This is what I feel. This is how I believe.
Right, right. See, I never would have an excuse of, I didn't know you meant this, I didn't know that. See, he made all that clear, and that's number one what I would do. See, because, I did my daughter the same way when she married. Matter of fact, I told a young man that married her, you know, if it gets to for y'all long, she don't want her, well, you give her back to me since I'm giving to you. And she'll tell you right there, that's what I did. And that's just the way we did back in the day, you know. Oh, you spoke about the Wings Over Jordan, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Early on, my sister Noble, Irene, Melba Baylor, and Chloe, I think, and maybe another lady, they was in a group called Silver Bells. Okay. A singing group. Professional group, singing group. The Silver Bells and the Silver Reds. And Irene later had a stint with the Wings Over Jordan, temporarily. And we all know who they were. They were very popular for a while.
So is there any way we can find that information? Because I would love to hear how the
Man, I'm telling you, that would be something good. The Silver, Bobby Baylor. Ask Bob. Bobby should, that's how Bobby last month. Month before last, brother. Uh-huh. And Bobby knows all about that. They had a group called the Silver Bells and Silver Reds. The Silver Bells and the Silver Reds. And Irene, I think, went to the Wings Over Jordan, that real popular group.
Okay.
But Bobby would know all about that because Melba was a part of the Silver Bells.
Okay, so did Mama sing with the Silver Bells?
She sang with one of them briefly, but she even went further. She went to, none of the rest of them went to the Wings Over Jordan, I don't think.
Oh, just
but Irene did.
Y'all not gonna believe this.
Yeah, I heard
this.
That Mama went.
But hold on,
Donna,
hold on 1 second. Y'all not gonna believe this. I just Googled Wings Over Jordan Choir, and it has them. They have a website, Donna. The 1938 Wings Over Jordan Choir that lasted all those times, and it goes on to say that they have performed in 40 states, 5 European countries, Canada. And this is the choir because it's no longer in existence. It's saying back then, and it's got a picture. Oh, my God. I ain't going to say nothing. It's got a picture of the choir. And I don't know. I'm not going to make out who these people are, but y'all got to see this. I'm serious. It's called singers.com/group/wings-over-jordan. That's singers.com/group/wings-over-jordan. All you got to do is go to Google and put in the quotation, Wing Over Jordan. Mm-hmm. It really does have. This is the group Mama was in. I'm telling you, I'm reading history on it right now that fast while y'all talking.
I know all about that. I know when she went. And some of them did. I don't know why all of them didn't go, but for some reason, Irene went. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
Ain't no if and ands about that. I know she went.
Yeah, well, I remember what she was telling me.
Now, my sister, Melba Baylor, I don't know if Merle Roberts, I don't know about her, but they all were in the same little group together. Now, it's Chloe, Melba Baylor, and like I said, I don't know, about 5 or 6 of them, you know. But they was all in one little group together, so they sang together. Pearl Masters, I think. Before she married.
I remember one song back, way, way, way back. I think, I don't know, I know you was at the church, but I don't know if you were singing. It was Monroe.
Well,
Nova.
I sang the male chorus briefly.
It wasn't just the male chorus. They came in on the old ship of Zion. And they acted it out, and they walked in from the back, and they walked up into the choir. But they were acting out a play with it. I had to been probably 10 when they did the old Ship of Zion. Do you recall that?
Yeah, I remember. I sure do remember they did the old ship. As a matter of fact, they were
doing
crazy.
Noble was standing, actually standing out to the front, and I remember asking, God, how can she sing and not even flex or reach back and throw her head back? And she was hitting high notes just standing in one spot, but she was blowing. But they were singing, and I was touched in amazement by that song, O Ship of Zion.
Hey, y'all, let me just say this real quick. I know I don't mean to be, I am listening to y'all, but this Wings Over Jordan got me paused here. Y'all need to look at this picture. There are several people in this photo that could be mama.
Yeah.
I mean,
man, I'm telling you.
Just like I'm looking right at the photo. As a matter of fact, I'm going to send it to you on Facebook, Don, and I think Tanya online
sent
it to her.
Well, my dear made mama stop because they were going in too many of the little cities, and racism was really bad, and she had her worried. So by her being her daughter, she didn't want to run that risk of something happening to her because of racism. And people were still segregated, so.
Yeah, they were still doing that thing. Although the civil rights bill had passed, you know, back in '64, and I don't know exactly what year that
was. Oh, it
was
strong back then. It was still strong.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it really was. Although that, see, that was the resentment from having to do it in the first place, you know.
Yes.
That's just like
yes,
a lot of
so
people go to Russia.
Worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't even eat it to Russian. Anytime you have to make somebody feed you, I don't want it.
Yeah.
If you know, this simple as that. And, you know, early on, man, you have to go back and see how things were during that time. You understand a lot of this that I'm telling you about.
Well,
just so happened I'm there and I'm still in my right mind, and I'm just glad to be able to, you know, give you as much information as I can. And for future reference, though, we need to get together sometime and go over some of these facts, and then we can have a real rendition of this program. You know, we can bring it back again.
Well, that would be good, and set all our kids down and let our kids, I mean, because this is what really history is all about. It's about not letting your family knowledge die, and you're telling about what happened in their lifetime, and you pass it on and you pass it on. But if we don't, we'll only hear other people's story of their history.
Now, that's right,
so
and they could be imitating you and you don't
is.
Even know it.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So much has happened in our life cycle that, I mean, this is what makes you strong. And if you don't give the children, the new generations that's coming up, that bit of information, some of them will go astray and some of them will feel like, oh, they're nobodies and fall into this mess that they're falling in. But if that little bit was said, what? They went through that kind of struggle, and yet they stood tall, and yet they worked hard, and yes, they thought they were who they were, and they were to be respected. It's a whole shed of light. So, you know, I think it needs to be.
Absolutely.
I seriously think it needs to be.
All right, let me do this. Let me do this because it's people. I know people, you know, they enjoy it, and they probably want to know. Are y'all there?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Okay, because blog talk, sometimes I just hang up on you. And by the way, if that happened, please know I didn't do that, folks, because sometimes they just drop you. But listen, Amos, you got a lot of people listening. If not now, on the archive in the future, it'll be, you know, I told you about one person who was just on for like a week, and they had 100 listeners. And so that can happen to you, your show. So all these people listening to you, what do you want to say to anybody in the future listening? And by the way, before we forget, the person that supplied me with your pictures, I want to say a shout out to Sandra, Miss Sandra Duke. And why don't you just briefly, since she did send those pictures, let everybody know who she is and what she is to the family, to your family, even if she's on your side. Let everybody, actually, you know what, she's got her hand up. I wasn't looking at the control board. I was over there on Facebook trying to send Tanya them a picture of this, Donna and Tanya picture this photo that several people look like mama on this photo, but not in see her hand. But let me just, Donna, just stay right there, and I'm going to open up the line. Okay, I think this is the phone number we got earlier. Area code 903-767. Is this Miss Duke?
Yes, it is.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, and I just wanted to say I really have enjoyed the program. It's very interesting, heartwarming. I love Amos. He has been a great mentor in our family. It's wonderful just hearing the rest. I mean, you all sound like family to me, too, because of him. And I just really enjoyed it. I think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing. As far as I think this is where we are right now, for us to get to the place that we need to be. We need to reach back to family and to God. But what I was talking about, what I wanted to talk to you about was, if you're trying to find the album for your mother, you can just type in YouTube and put that song in, that group in, and it will pull the songs up for you.
Oh, let me go do that right now.
You think it's still around?
You can find it that way, because they do have some of the older songs. Just type in YouTube and then type in the name of the song and the group.
You think that older group got songs on YouTube? That's interesting.
Yeah, because they do have some of the older songs. If they were popular, it would be on there. Just type, you know, right in your search box, type YouTube, then type the song and the group. And if it's there, it'll pull it up. You might can find it that way.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that. Appreciate that. Now, Sandra, how are you related to Amos, just so we all know who you are?
Okay, Amos' mother, Aunt Georgia, was my great-grandmother's sister.
Say that again.
My great-grandmother and Amos' mother were sisters.
Oh, okay. You are Duke, though. Was your maiden name Howard?
No, my last name is Duke. My mother's name was Annie Jean Carlock, and that was Amos. Amos, was she your first cousin or second cousin?
Annie?
Yes.
Annie's mother was my first cousin.
Okay.
Annie's mother. No, she
wasn't. Okay, my grandmother, Ollie, was his first cousin. Okay.
And you know what? If nothing else, you are absolutely right. They got Wings Over Jordan Choir, the original Wings Over Jordan Choir, right here on YouTube.
But Amos, do you know what year she sang with the Wings Over Jordan?
Let me see. No, I don't exactly know what year. But we probably could be tracked that down. Check with Bobby Bailey. Going to be your best source for that, because they were singing with Melvin, and when she, I think when Irene left and went to the Wings Over Jordan, they had been with the Silver Bells. I think it started the Silver Reds first, and the Silver Bells. Then
I'm
she
look
went
that
to
up,
Wings
too.
Over Jordan. Yeah, look all that up. And Miss Rogers was with them. You know, later became Miss Hill. You know her. You remember her, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Ain't Jerry?
Okay. Yeah, her. Well,
okay.
She was with that group too, doing it. She was instrumental in getting that Silver Bells and Silver Bells started. So, but of course, she's not here anymore, so we can't, consult her. But at least
right.
Bobby, that's going to be one of your main sources now. Going to be Bobby Baylor.
Okay.
And he'll know in detail all about it. You know, my sister here, she would know, but Bobby, being Melba's brother. Well, he would have this information. And he could even lead you to somebody else that probably would have it. Because they was in that vein, based on what he's doing now and what he did then. So he was directly involved in that vein, you see. So he would naturally have that information for you.
Okay.
Well, listen, Miss Duke?
Yes.
You still there? I just want to thank you again for the pictures you supplied for the show. And just sharing that information about Wings Over Jordan and the compliment of the show. I really, really appreciate that.
Well, you're more than welcome.
And like I said, we'll talk later about the whole blog talk thing. And I'm going to go ahead and try to wrap this show up. But I just want to tell you thanks before I place you back on hold and we wrap the show up, okay?
Okay. Thank
it's
you.
Good talking to you guys.
All right. Any last words?
No, I thank everybody for the show tonight.
Hold on, not you, because I want you to hold on a second, because I want to ask you something. I'm talking to Miss Sandra Dukes right now.
Oh,
is there any last words before I put you on hold?
Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you.
Hello?
Yes. I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, yes.
No, there's nothing else. It's just that I truly did enjoy it. I really know that we are at that time and place. Amos had called me, and he was really excited about what you were doing, and I am too, and I thank God for it because that's what we really need. And right now we are at a place where we need to reflect back into our history, what your cousin Donna was speaking. I think the lady's name was Donna. She was saying something that was definitely true. We do need to grasp back to our roots and get back to God and get back to, you know, just loving family. And Amos, I just want to say to you that you are just a wonderful mentor. God bless you. And what I am is not a reflection of you, but what I have become is because of you. And I appreciate everything that you have done and how you stood up for not only family, but for our race. And God bless you.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that very much, Sandra.
Well, Sandra, appreciate that. Don't be a stranger. Stop by the show. We're here every Sunday night, 9 to 11, okay?
Okay, and I'll be sure. I will have to talk about that because I really would like to place you on Anointed Works Presents and let people know about you, okay?
Well, I appreciate that. We really do appreciate that.
All right. Well, God bless you. Bye.
All right, God bless you. And just hold on because we're almost done. We've got another 5 minutes and we'll wrap the show up. Donna, any more questions or comments to Amos before he get last words?
No, it's just that I appreciate everything that he I came in a little late, everything that he shared because, again, you know, my mom was my mother, and growing up it's a lot of things that we didn't know. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of time it's, oh, my God, I didn't know that. That plays a major role in people's lives. And it is good. And nobody sits down and sit and talk about the family anymore. I want to know about all of my family. I want to know what it was like. Or is this the reason why I feel this way? Or you know, these kind of things are happening. I just want to know about family. And it's good. It's good to know. So I like to say thank you, Amos, for shedding that. And, I mean, that's what it's all about.
Anytime, Donna, anytime.
Yes.
But listen,
so I can't wait till we get
just
together.
Just so you know, and anybody else, Tanya, anybody else on the line listening, I don't know if she's still on the line. I think she is. I think this is her number. Yeah, this is her number. So, Tanya, you, Donna, anybody else in the family, I'm going to try to send y'all a picture of what I'm looking at. Y'all going to trip out when y'all
see
the photo.
I'm in the process of putting
it
I'm going
to send it to you. Just give me a minute. I'm going to send it to you. Well, Donna, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to let Amos have the last one. We're going to wrap the show up, okay?
Okay. So are you going to let him wrap it up and then pray us off?
Well, you want a prayer after we're done?
I think, Amos, that would be good.
Okay. Well, just hold on a second. And I'll let Amos, his last words, we've got 4 minutes, and then we'll end it with a prayer. So, Amos, let me just say, I want you to just take a minute, think about anything else you want to say, and then we'll just wrap it up, okay? So just take a minute and think about anything you need to say. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll play this one commercial that I really want to get over to people about, I just saw it and lost it. While I'm playing this commercial, I want you to just think about what you want to say, then we'll be right back, okay? This will be a two-minute commercial. Just 1 second,
okay.
Everybody. This is a very important message to the family. Check this out.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
I like those commercials because they really are some good websites. Check them out. Somebody recommended them to me, and they're not that expensive. So anyway, all right, we're back to finish out the show with Amos. Amos, go ahead with your last. You got like a couple of minutes. Anything on your mind, and then we'll wrap the show up.
Well, no, I just got a little reminder I would like to give to all of us, you know, for future references. Of course, I'm blessed to be here to even talk about this, and so many people are not. And but what I would like to, a thought that I would like to leave with everybody, you know, one of the most profound realities of our times is simply this. When you could, you wouldn't. Now you want to and you can't. So you must work while it is day, but when night comes, no one can work. So that's what we ought to take and make a difference in somebody's life, you know, because life is too short. Even 80 years old is just like a moment with God. So I was blessed. A lot of people have gone on. We don't have this golden opportunity. So I just want to emphasize, help somebody and do what you can while you can. So that's my message to everybody. God bless.
Well, if you don't mind, like Donna was saying, you want to offer a word of prayer for everybody listening? She kind of brought that up. Do you want to offer a word of prayer, or would you like her to do it?
Well, she came, but what I said is basically what it would all amount to. I just what I will say, though, unofficially, is I would just thank God that I'm here, first of all, and to bless everybody to have a better understanding and let us become more spiritual and less religious. I'm a man of simple words. I like to, you know, say a lot. And without saying a lot of words, I just like to be more meaningful in what I'm saying. But I just like to say to everybody, just, you know, make a difference in somebody's life and pray for God's guidance as we go from day to day. And that's about all I would say. And that's, I think if we all do that, we can make a difference in everybody's life. So that's
I'm going to open up the line and let Donna whisper a word of prayer. I think she was on her heart.
Yeah, let her.
We'll wrap up the show after she prays. So, Donna, you're on the spot now. Go ahead with your word of prayer.
No, I was saying let Amos. Let your guest.
So you being all shy. Amos already said what he felt was a prayer, and that was a very good word. Did you want to add to it, or do we need to just wrap up the show?
He can wrap it up. I mean, he said it all in a nutshell.
All right, Amos, one more time. Give us that wise thing, and we'll just close out the show. Amos?
Oh, the most. Oh, okay. Yeah, I said.
Give that wise, the
most
I like
profound
the,
reality.
Give us that wise thing.
It's just a thought. Yeah, it's kind of like a thought for the day. The most profound reality of our times is simply this. When you could, you wouldn't. And now you want to and you can't. Just don't let that be the story of your life. Do what you can while you can and make a difference in somebody's life. If we do that on a daily basis, What else can you ask for?
Well, I like that. I like that. I really like that. Well, listen, folks, y'all heard it. I enjoyed it. I knew you was going to bring a whole lot of science, a whole lot of facts, a whole lot of history. So we're just going to go ahead and wrap the show up, Amos. Thank you, thank you, thank you for stopping by. It's just, I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And
I
want everybody to check out this song as we go out our own separate ways. Just one little more thing. Check out this song. Listen to the words. Because it says a lot. It means a lot to me. I play it a lot on this show, and it just means a lot. Then after this song, we'll just close out, okay? So good night, everybody, and thank you again, Amos, for doing the show, okay?
You bet. I'm glad I all could right. help.
Yeah, you did help. Believe me, you did help. It was a great show. So good night.
All right. Good night.
Just like you're lost in space. Yes, it does.